Everybody, this is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We're glad to have you aboard on WWCR 5070 Live tonight on the 15th day of January. Praise Yahweh. And we hope and trust that you'll call a friend around the radio network that you might invite them to listen in tonight. We're going into part two of a first fruit resurrection principle. So you don't want to miss it because we're going to explain to you the second segment of this resurrection first fruit factors, identifying those who were redeemed from the earth. And we're going into, of course, the 20th chapter of the book of Revelations, where it talks about, if you will, a thousand-year reign. We're going to talk about the thousand-year reign, how long it's going to be, where it's at, and to whom it affects, and things. There's a lot of mystery, as we got a lot of the church people teaching that there's going to be a literal thousand-year reign interlude, if you will, Christ coming back to stay a thousand years. Then he's going to go back into the heavens, and then he's going to come back again. So all this is nonsense. Strictly ear-tickling information that comes straight out of the gates of hell. Satan is very crafty and very wise, and so therefore he brings seem-like things, things that should, to the carnal mind, be in evidence, but the Word don't back it up. What about the thousand-year reign? Let's go into the Bible. Like I say, I'm going to Revelation chapter 20 tonight to start. But to back up and to refresh your memory in the first series segment of First Fruits, we told you that the dead in Isaiah chapter 26, that the dead together with his dead body arose. That's first resurrection, first fruits. Paul said that Christ, the order of the resurrection is just like this. Now listen to me very carefully. In the 15th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul says that the order of the resurrection is like this. Christ, that's the first fruit. He had to be the first fruits of the resurrection. He is the resurrection, so he naturally would be first. And then the first fruits. Now, he took out of the grave, according to Matthew chapter 27, verses 52, he took a large body of people out of the first resurrection. Well, we find in the Bible that these were all males. They had defiled themselves with women. And so they were resurrected as a bride type out of the first resurrection, and then those that are Christ at his coming. So we done proved to you that the bridegroom came to earth, got him a bride, rose her up in the first resurrection. Now, in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelations, she is enjoying this reign. Who are these? Well, we're going to find out. Did you know that the phrase 1,000-year reign of Christ does not appear anywhere in Scripture, nor the word millennium? Now, if you know that and you understand that, then you will actually ask yourself a question. Well, where do the people get this? Well, if the thousand-year reign appears nowhere in the 66 books and 1,189 chapters, 31,173 verses that we have in the revised version, there's more verses and chapters in the original King James Bible, and that's what we're teaching out of tonight. The original scriptures, nowhere can you find in the Bible where it talks about a thousand-year reign on the earth. Now, you think about that. With all of the teaching that you've perhaps probably heard, there is not one scripture to indicate that Christ will reign on the earth for a thousand years. Not one. And yet most of religions teach that Christ is coming back to reign a thousand years, but it's not so. Now, let me give you a scripture to prove that. In the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 4, notice that it says, "And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of the Messiah, Yahushua, and for the word of God, and they lived and reigned with Christ a thousand years." They lived with him. Now, where's Christ reigning at? Where's he living at? Well, the Bible said the same one that went away, that was taken in a cloud, not on the cloud. Everybody thinks that it says on a cloud, that he floated up into the heavens on a cloud. It didn't say that. He was lifted up in a cloud. And the same way that he came or went away, he's going to come back according to the Bible. And he goes away for 1,000 years. You said, well, Pastor, that's been over 1,000 years. Well, one day is 1,000 years. So the Father has got a time appointed to set, and this is contingent upon the ability of the truth, the remnant, the few that be that find the truth. So as long as there's a people that will seek him, unless there's a falling away, then he won't come. So this could be extended out several years or several decades, if you will, of the appointed time. The Father's flexible in this, and that's why he said no man knows the hour or the minute. But you can rest assured that these signs will be in the heavens and up on the earth in the end time when he is scheduled to come within a certain period of time. Well, let's look at the signs. The Bible says that man, nations, will be gathered against nation. Isn't that the forerunner of the Armageddon wars that is prophesied in the Bible, a time of trouble such as the world has never seen? And yet the Bible says the end is not yet. For all of the signs that is written in the book of Matthew, chapter 24, yet he said, and the end is not yet. We are absolute, and we're final, and we're fatalistic. We want the end, or the righteous moan and groan in their bodies for the clothing, if you will, the redemption, or even so come Messiah, as it says in the scriptures. Well, what about that passage that they reign with him? Who were these saints that reigned with him 1,000 years? The Bible said every one of them was beheaded. Well, there's a popular doctrine that goes around in the Jehovah's Witness and others that Christ is going to come back here and gather up 144,000 of them, and then they're going to go around and preach the gospel, and they're going to convert in the millennial kingdom. And then the Bible says that the devil is going to be loosed upon the planet. Well, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I've done prophesied to you that the 1,000 years that Christ is reigning with his bride in the heavens, where he took her out of the earth in the first resurrection, there's an interlude of time. And remember, one day is 1,000 years. 1,000 years is one day. So it's been 2 days. If we would use the thinking that Christ came 2,000 years ago, it's only been 2 days in his sight. Well, the Bible said after 2 days, he will revive us. Now, what does that sound like? This is the prophecies in the Bible that it talks about the 3-day time frame. So then, within 3,000 years, it is expected within that framework, it could be 500 years or 600 years, give or take a few years, with the time count that the Father uses to time count. Remember, he told Adam that the day that he ate of the forbidden fruit, that he said, the day that you partake of this to Adam and Eve, you shall surely die. Well, they didn't die until in the 900th year of their existence, meaning that the Father was looking in a 1,000-year length time of man's time, and within that framework, it's only been 2 days since Christ died. But we're entered into the third day at some point here in the near future. We will enter what is supposed to be the end of the times of the Gentiles, when the punishment of Israel and the house of Israel is concluded. This punishment is for the disobedience of the fathers of the past. It has nothing to do with the daily activities of that the present generation of Israelites that are scattered throughout the earth, particularly a large segment, maybe perhaps the largest segment of Yahweh's blessing children, the house of Israel, located in the United States of America. Right in the middle of New Jerusalem is the USA embedded code that the Father has used this nation, if you will, as the blessed, fruitful nation of Joseph. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you only qualify in the lineage genetics of the offspring of the house of Jacob if you have the ability to blush. If you don't have that ability to blush, you're not considered in covenant with the Father's children. Now, that's extreme, and it is a hard saying, and who can hear it? But the Father chose one people and one man's blood, Jacob, and David was a son, and the Bible said that he had a ruddy complexion, meaning that he showed blood in the face. And when Israel is embarrassed about something, blood will come rushing into the face. This is a unique characteristic that Jacob, Israel, and the offspring have for the heritage identity of a people that can blush to look up for covenant principles and for commandment keeping that the Father has given us. Now, in the third verse of chapter 20, the passage again talks about that he lived and reigned with them for 1,000 years. Now, let's get into the Bible, and we're going to talk to you a little bit about the 144,000. This is a symbolic, if you will, a symbolic type of the people of Yahweh. Now, let's look at the people that were beheaded. You know, we talked a little bit about John the Baptist. Well, he was beheaded as we look into the scriptures. And this is in the sixth chapter of the book of Revelations, as we read verse 9. Moses. And when he had opened the fifth seal, this is in the resurrection now, the fifth seal is the grace seal of the first resurrection. I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now listen to this. They were the first sons, the little male children that Herod slew, to ever shed their blood for the Messiah. When he came in as a baby himself, Herod lifted the heads, literally, of 144,000 of the little Israelites that lived in this great nation of Israel, and he slew all the males from 2-year-old down in Israel. It just happened to tally out to the biblical equation of 144,000. And white robes were given unto them, and it was said unto them that they should rest a little season, that's 1,000 years, that they will reign with Christ as a bride time. After that, then Satan will be loosed upon the plan. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, glory to God, and all the evil's going on in your day. Looks like he's already loose. You haven't seen anything. If you think that evil is prevailing upon the planet, you wait until Satan and the angels that follow him are revealed from heaven. Now, that wicked man, that wicked one, with the combination of a fallen angel, and we just got through doing the Star King series, this is why it's fresh on my mind, to remind you a continuation of the resurrection first fruit factors, that we can continue the Star King series and identify what is going to happen here in the future at this present time. Well, Satan is now working, and ladies and gentlemen, you may think this is strange, but Satan right now and his angels are in communication with the governments of this world. They are waiting for the timing of a generation to pass that will be more acceptant to. That's why they're conditioning your children, ladies and gentlemen, in the schools. That's why that you will see the space program in high gear of the countries around the world. Even China is getting into the space pursuit. We have the countries such as Russia, which put the first Sputnik up in 1957. And from that time, we have been in high gear, most advanced nations that can afford a space program, including now China. Japan is already in the hunt, and India is in the hunt, and other nations are in the hunt. Most of these nations belong to the nuclear club, as we call it. And you will see that they search the heavens for, what are they looking for? Well, they put little plaques on the satellites that they send up, that we are at planet Earth, the third rock from the sun, they say. And if anybody out there finds this, it's from the planet Earth. Well, we're only one of the billions of star systems that is in the galaxy. Billions of stars, billions of planet systems that we have to contend with, and to think that we're alone is an act of insanity by the person that would believe that. Ladies and gentlemen, our Bible tells us from the very word go that Satan and his angels were here genetically mixing with the people of the earth. And with the war that ensued over this genetic difference, the angels thought that it was well and good to mix the star seed with the seed of the earth. The other angels, the two-thirds that remained loyal, declared war on Satan and his angels and took them away and bound them from the earth to forbid them to mix their seed or to genetically alter the blood of the Star Kings with the blood of man. It was frowned upon by the mighty ones. Remember, Yahweh and his angels came down and said, now, let us go down and see what they're doing. Well, the Bible says that they found a generation of fallen ones here upon the earth, mating with the daughters of men, producing these giants, these men of great minds, and they were continuously doing evil things, even to building a tower whose tower was to reach in heaven to climb up some other way. And this is why that the Bible says that the confusion of tongues came in to delay, not to forbid, but to delay the inevitable. For if we let them alone, saith Yahweh, nothing will be restrained from their minds and all that they image or imagine themselves to do. There is the sin, there is the iniquity, and that man, who has not been seen since the Garden of Eden, by the way, you see, we have a nature of good and evil in us. And by nature, we provide either the good or the evil, and we have to choose this day who will serve. Well, most people have gone over to the evil side. Most people have been persuaded to deny the love of Yahweh and to keep his commandments and to walk upright. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are not living in a make-believe world. You got to lock your doors, get your gun, and stay on guard, because Satan and his angels are going through the earth seeking whom they may devour. Well, they have persuaded and large. Let me give you this now. Even out of the house of Israel, they have persuaded 2/3 of Israel, and only 1/3 of Israel will be refined and saved and sanctified. The rest will join the wicked kings. If you read Daniel 11 and 12, in the chapter, you'll see that many of those who were saints would fall from their steadfastness and give over to the man of sin when he's revealed, and he'll cause all of the people in the earth to wonder after him and his teachings. Now, here's what the teaching's going to be, ladies and gentlemen, and you're fixing, and you'll know that Pastor Buddy's a prophet among you when this happens, if it happens in your lifetime. If not, don't worry about it. But you can rest assured this will come to pass in some future generation setting. Because the Father has spoken to me about this great mystery that will be revealed in the last days, that there will be an announcement upon the earth. And this shouldn't surprise a lot of people that know the Bible, that we're not alone. We never was alone. We never will be alone. We will all be raised, be watched by both the good and the bad, and we can become victims or blessed by the circumstances of our choices. The Bible said, choose this day. Now, let me explain to you what's going to happen. There shall become an announcement. This will be a worldwide CNN, Fox News. All of the newspapers will hurl this event around the world in the near future. That they, we're talking about the governments that are actively pursuing space programs, that we have contacted intelligent life in the stars. We're in communication. That's the word. It'll come to earth. All religions who are based upon these traditional fearful superstitions and ignorance will immediately fall to the ground. They will cease to function because man's mind will immediately change to accept the fact and the reality, and this will be proven beyond a shadow of a doubt, when these aliens, those beings from the stars, the other star system, come down and to show themselves openly to the people of the world. Now, with this in mind, Satan, who is the ringleader, the orchestrator of this evil invasion, but he will come in peacefully, ladies and gentlemen, we will be told by our governments that these are peaceful, benevolent individuals, and they have no conquering things in mind. They will do these things, and they will come in. They will bring technology. They will bring power, powerful inventions of technology, because they've been around literally. Like, well, listen to me quite well. If you was to judge the age of Satan or the angels that fell in their steadfastness and were locked in the abyss in outer space, somewhere down in space, on a planet in the deep. The Bible uses the word deep. This is a reference, direct reference to space. And now that we have what we call certain planets approaching our Earth, we are now concerned about certain comets, and today they just retrieved a partial post delivery from space of a rocket that was launched in 1999. Just now returning after billions of miles out into space, went to the tail end of the dust of a comet, collected it very efficiently, they say, sent it back, and the scientists are very excited. It will tell us probably the origin or the origination of the time that the Great Bang theory that science holds, that the heavens was created. At least the Earth itself, it will be measurably by the dust particles that come from the tail of the comet, that if we have something here in the characteristical likeness of the dust that comes from there, that we are part of that Great Bang theory, and they will estimate our age of our planet to be 4.5 billion years. And we think that Adam is only 7,000 years or 6,000 years, in this case 5,600 years approximately, before we even reach the 7,000th existence of Adam in the genealogy chain downline. But I've told you many times before that Adam is a recent introduction to replace or replenish that was existing before Adam 2 came. Adam 1 family was already here. And Satan and his angels destroyed the world before Genesis 1. With the same thing, making it advisable to you as someone who should know by studying the scripture that there's nothing new under the sun for what is to be has already been. It's coming back into reality that the times are catching up with our minds. Our minds have been purposely dumbed down by the mighty ones and by our governments themselves to keep us fearful, ignorant, and superstitious, but the day will come that will vanish from the earth. The whole mysteries of heaven in these days is going to be revealed. When we know that we're not alone, it will change religion and science drastically. Are you ready to join in with Pastor Buddy tonight in agreeing that these fallen angels will have to make their last climactic stand here upon the earth? Now, the Bible said when 1,000 years is finished, Satan will be loosed out of his prison to go out into the earth. The Bible gives us a severe warning. Listen to what it said. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is going to be cast out of heaven. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, he was cast out thousands of years ago by his failure to bring forth truth or stand for truth, and the rebellion that he led in the heavens was actually for a people that would agree with him that rebellion, that we could become gods, and man has experienced and expressed his interest in becoming godlike in the very thought of replacing the creator with a creature. Now we've got these scientists, these great scientists, that are worshiping the creature image of God, not the creation factor. The big argument. And the fact that they took creation teaching out of the schools will tell you that we've come to a point in time when men will not endure sound doctrine, but will turn from the truth and will gather these great minds of the system, the church system, included in a 501(c)(3) aspect, as they take tithes and offerings as the priesthood who keep the sheep ignorant of the very truths that Pastor Buddy's teaching you tonight. You won't hear it on any other channel except live on 5070 on Sunday night with Pastor Buddy. And these revelations that are coming forth are for your benefit. When the choice time comes, remember that Pastor Buddy's already told you that the man of sin who came from a planet system in the deep, remember, he was cast out with his angels, and their ultimate destination, I hate to say this tonight, but their ultimate destination in a prolonged event is planet Earth. They're coming. Now their coming is now, even at the door. We have the space age race of the nations trying to be a favorite to those beings who have been working in unison with our government, hidden in these underground bases. Ladies and gentlemen, these craft that they have are able to get down into the interior of the ocean beds, penetrate the water, and they can set up bases underwater. Well, man can do that right now, but it's in a primitive way. The way that these fallen angels can do that and hide themselves at the poles of the earth, these entrances and out, into a hollow earth where they have these secret bases, and they've been here for literally thousands of years. And they have engineered right under our feet these realities that will come to the surface people. The people that are on the surface, unaware, ignorant, fearful, religious. You see, religion is vain. The Bible said religion, man's religion, has been the greatest obstacle to truth since the beginning of time. Satan was a religionist He wanted to worship Yahweh, but he wanted to worship on his terms. And you see, Satan is not ashamed to be worshipped or to seek him to worship or to worship himself. And the Bible says when he was caught in his unlawful activities, when he was questioned by the Supreme Council of the Mighty Ones, when he was brought before the Ancient Ones, and he reported after they inquired about his activities, that he said that he'd been down on the earth going to and fro. Going to and fro. Well, his ability to go to and fro has been somewhat hampered or restricted. Now, in the last days, when the 1,000 years is finished, Satan is going to be loosed out of his prison, as we're going to look at the souls that are talking about in the 20th chapter. Notice this now. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, verse 1, chapter 20, having the key of a bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Having the key of a bottomless pit. This is the space age knowledge that the ancient ones, the good ones, had. And they took Satan and the fallen ones who had rebelled against the covenant command not to mix with man, and to sow their genetics among the flesh of man. This is Satan's ideal, as from the book of Genesis, chapter 3, when he was caught in the very act of sowing the tare into the womb of Eve. It became cursed. Everything that exited the womb had to die. So death once appointed through the curse. And the Bible says that the first fruit from the womb of Eve was Cain. Cain was not a righteous man. He had the seed of Satan in his bloodline. This is the tare seed. The first, the tares came. You see, tares can grow up overnight and spin up overnight without any evident planting. But the Bible said, while the sower tarried, he had made the arrival down to the garden to visit Eve. While he tarried, then Satan took advantage of the interlude of the tarrying. And while the seed sower slept, he sowed a tare into the womb of Eve in the personage of the blood offspring of Satan. Now, this was in conflict with the second seed that came, which was from Yahweh himself, who had to follow the example to bring a seed type prototype. And the Bible says that the Son of God was slain from the foundation of the world, proving that Abel was the son of Yahweh, not the son of Adam. We know from the scriptures that Adam himself was the son of Yahweh. That made Abel and Adam brothers and not father and son, as we've been lied to. Well, everybody thinks that Adam fathered Cain. Those who think so are stupid, ignorant, and foolish. Why? Because the Bible is talking about seeds here, diverse seeds, and you can't mingle the seeds in the field. Revelation tells you this here as the key to the bottomless pit of the binding or imprisonment of Satan and his angels for doing just that. They were only bound for a short time, 1,000 years. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, listen to me, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years right there. Now, if you want to reign 1,000 years, and you think that this is going to be with Christ, it's Satan's reign. He's in prison. His sentence was 1,000 years on a planet in the deep. Now, as I have said, 1,000 years is one day, and the Bible said the two-day event here, meaning that 2,000 years that this wayward planet has actually been forced out of the orbit territory of planet Earth. This is for the righteous to gain entrance to truth. For 2,000 years, we have been preaching this gospel by the anointed lips of clay from the prophets of Yah. What happened? Well, they were stoned by the very people who claim to be the people of God. They will kill you thinking that they're doing God a service because they've been done down, ignorantly turned into the denominational system and the power of the beast to worship the image of the creature rather than the creator and the truth that comes with it. Now it says, They cast him into the bottomless pit, that's deep space on the planet, and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should not deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loose a little season. Now after the 1,000-year reign, Satan, his reign is in heaven with his bride. The beheaded that was taken up in the first resurrection, all the little children that were killed, including the best man at this wedding, who was John the Baptist. He himself was beheaded after the 144,000. He's included in this. And he himself is the man that stood in as best man. That's a tradition. And Christ alluded to John and said, there's not a greater man born of woman. This man was beheaded also, and these are the ones that were resurrected in the first resurrection. Now, then I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of the Messiah and for the word of God, and that they had not worshipped the beast. These were virgins. Neither had received his image, and neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now notice here, verse 5, and I'll end it here. For the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Now that's what I gave you. Now then, to put the truth in proper perspective, we find that Satan and his ability to deceive and to corrupt the doctrine and bring it into an ear-tickling, semi way. Oh, we don't have to worry. Christ ain't come back. He's going to come back here 1,000 years, and you know, and we're going to beat our swords into plowshares, and he's going to teach the nations about the war in the morning. He's going to set up in Jerusalem. That's not true. Ladies and gentlemen, there is not one scripture, and I challenge any preacher that preaches a 1,000-year reign upon the earth, literally that Christ coming back, I challenge you to debate Pastor Buddy on these issues. Now, if you are not in the truth recognition believing believers, you will probably fall for Satan's sweetened sin right way, and you will sit in these churches with your head covered with your brain parked in the foyer, where they want you to drop your understanding and give heed to the seducing spirits that are to entice, and they speak great swelling words to win your admiration, that they themselves are servants of corruption and will corrupt those who are scheduled for revelation truth, but they cast the truth to the ground, and they prosper. Revelation 26 tells you that the first resurrection clearly applies to those in Christ who were beheaded. If you want to get the story of those that were beheaded, they were Rachel's children weeping. At the time that Herod slew, in Matthew chapter 2, verse 18, the fulfillment of the prophecy of Jeremiah chapter 30, where Rachel was weeping for her children. It was Jacob's a time of trouble, a trouble such the world has never seen, but the Messiah, the bridegroom, came, and he himself was killed in like manner. And when he went into the graves, he opened the graves, the Bible said, and many who slept came out after his resurrection and went into heaven and sung the new song that is spoken about in the book of Isaiah that we mentioned in First Fruit, part 1. This is part 2 of First Fruits, where he explained to you the 144,000 which were redeemed from the earth among men, that was beheaded for the testimony. Their testimony was that they were male children and they were all Israelites. Oh, hallelujah. What a wonderful truth that is coming forth in the last days to give you the true message, not the deception, that Satan has been on this earth through men of deception. For filthy lucre's sake has formed these denominational systems, nothing but bell boxes, to call on a pagan false name. And then these preachers who seem right defend that name for the sake of filthy lucre, because they know when they drop it, the show's over. And the fat lady has done sung. And their little experience of making money off the souls of the innocent is over with. And you see, when a prophet of truth comes on the scene, Yahweh said that there is a famine in the land. In the last days, he will send you prophets, as it was in part two of the time of the outpouring of the former rain, which he promised that the latter rain, beginning now, ladies and gentlemen, on the scene of the world, the truth will be prevailed in the prophets of Yah as he sends forth the hunters and the fishermen to preach the everlasting gospel and the truth with the special anointed, with special signs and revelations of things that have been kept secret from the foundation world in the end time will be revealed. Now, when you see Satan sitting in the temple of Jerusalem, ladies and gentlemen, we are headed for Armageddon just as sure as Pastor Buddy speaking. The powers that be for the international Zionist cause are now setting up the scenario to expand the war in the Middle East. This could bring dire consequences to those that's involved. Those who would escape these things would be wise to know that the time is coming when they will declare Jerusalem, Sodom, the place where our Messiah was crucified. Sodom, not a holy religious place, but a cage of every foul and unclean spirit. Death of there in the last days, the three unclean spirits. I've done told you who they are. Ladies and gentlemen, we are at the very verge of this happening right now as I speak. That the temple will be erected in an international city where the three major religions who have fought and vied for supremacy will finally, after the last war, conclude a peaceful reign. After much blood is shed, then they will build the temple in troubled times. The temple will be erected, and then Satan, who will come out of the heavens as Jesus Christ, he will sit in the temple as Jesus Christ, the Christian world who doesn't know the true God, will worship him whose names are not written in the Lamb's book. Folks, the deception times is here. Satan sitting in the temple as God. And all the major denominational system preach that Jesus is God. Well, Jesus is going to come to his temple, and he's going to sit there at the urging and the request of the three major religions, which will bind themselves together with the revelation that we're not alone. And so then the false prophecy that Jesus is coming back to reign 1,000 years will fit right into the plan of the deception of the evil ones who has conspired in the heavens long ago for this plan to be enacted. And the fathers give us insight through his word and through his prophets who know exactly what is going to happen in the last days. And these things are revealed to you in the last day that you might hide yourself from the wrath to come. For we wrestle not against the flesh man or the armies of the earth, as some think we ought to. They want to tear Babylon down, and yet they enjoy the luxuries of Babylon when they whiz over the highways. They don't want to pay any taxes. They don't want to do anything. They don't want to carry a driver's license. They're against Babylon. Ladies and gentlemen, Babylon will only come down when the time appointed for her to fall. The anointing will be broken only by the spiritual introduction of the truth. A lie on a lie will not bring Satan down, and neither can you cast out Satan with Satan. Those that promote a false name to tear down the system that they advocate and use to collect their money, they themselves will not do what they ask you to do, because they themselves could be in prison for what they do. Ladies and gentlemen, don't do as I say, watch me as an example and follow the example. Let everything be established in truth. Let God be true and every man a liar. And ladies and gentlemen, most of the liars using the Bible as an excuse or a pretense, as deceivers, would deceive actually the very elect if it is possible. But it's not possible to those who have seen and tasted of the heavenly truth. And the truth becoming a hard saying will put you in the elite, small group of people who love Yahweh and fear Him and keep His commandments. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our time tonight has just melted away as we are in verse 6 of Revelation 20. I saw them that were beheaded. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded. Now we're going to go to one last scripture here, and we're going to go over to the book of Revelations, and we're going to start at verse 14 to prove that the 144,000 who were brought into the heavens to reign with Him for 1,000 years. And I looked, verse 1, and lo, a lamb. This is a, he's only known as a lamb now after his resurrection. Stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. Now, how do you get that father's name in there? Well, the son came in the father's name. Ladies and gentlemen, I challenge anybody under the sound of my voice, I'll give you $10,000 to read the name of Jesus in the Old Testament. If the son came in the name of a God named Jesus, it is not recorded. It is actually contrary to that. The name of the Heavenly Father in the Old Testament, 5,000, listen to me well, 823 times alone in the covenant principles of the old parchment, which was a schoolmaster. And folks, if you can't learn the name of your Heavenly Father by 5,823 scriptures, I couldn't give you 10,000 to convince you. If you won't believe a prophet now, you wouldn't believe one that rose from the dead and declared these things, that the Father's name, not Jesus, there will be no saints enter into heaven with the name of Jesus in their forehead. Sorry, it just ain't going to happen. Because Jesus is a pagan introduction of a Greek god, Jesus. And the expert language of the crafty man that had formulated the Catholic Church and gave us the name of blasphemy rather than the name of salvation. Now, the wise can see his name. His name is in him. Remember, Moses wrote of him and said, they said, provoke him not, for my name is in him. The name of the Heavenly Father was in the Son, John 5:43. The Son came in the Father's name, and here he is, resurrected with the 144,000, having the Father's name in their forehead, sealing the bride to marry the Father. Guess what that name was? Ladies and gentlemen, no other name, none other name given under heaven but the name of the Heavenly Father, Yahweh. It's the only name that's got salvation. It's the only name that will stand when the world's on fire. It's the only name that you'll bow to at the knee gate kingdom entrance to judgment. And everything that's called on Lord and Jesus will have to hear this terrible sentence. Depart from me, as you say, oh, haven't we done any wonderful works in your name, Lord? And the Lord is not going to be there. It's only going to be Yahweh, and he's going to say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. If you'd like to write me tonight, my address is Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, again, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, zip 37824. If you'd like to comment on that, I'm live. And call me any other time. I'm a full-time minister, and I would love to have your call. That would be area code 423-626-2284. 423-423-2172. That's area code, Pastor Buddy. Area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to talk about what Pastor Buddy brought, it might be a little strange to you ears. But the Bible says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you want freedom and liberty, you got to have the truth. The truth's a hard saying, who can hear? But only a few. Straight away, narrows a gate, and a few, not this large denominational system that these preachers have budgets of $1 million to preach to 25,000 in an auditorium as they rally around a false name when Pastor Buddy is actually a street preacher. Own nothing in this present world but the truth. Have no desire to collect a large property to dwell on. I want a property to dwell on that is provided strictly by God. He's always supplied my needs, and he always will. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you this much, that the word of Yah is forever settled in heaven, and nothing to be added to it, and nothing taken away. And if you want the truth, and nothing but the truth, and you are a truth seeker, and you would hazard your life for the name of Yahweh, not a false pagan name. Well, you say, well, Pastor Buddy, in the New Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, let me ask you a question. Who gave us the New Testament? Who kept it under wraps for 1,500 years before the printing press was invented to mass-produce copies that you could read? Who had that power? She's called a whore system church in Revelations chapter 17. She gave us a whore's name. And the denominational system came out of the whore hating her. They burned her flesh with fire. They criticized her. Martin Luther started the Protestant Revolution, and the movement grew to the point that people began to understand it's not the Pope that calls shots. That salvation is by grace to race to a people. Now, it just so happens that those people came out of there reading a book that had been placed in the pulpits of the Holy Catholic Church, as they call themselves, the Universal Church. The word Catholic means universal. And so she released to the world a new parchment, a New Testament, if you will, of a Greek sounding God. They were actually from the Holy Roman Empire of the days, and few would just get the book of Maccabees in the original King James Bible, ladies and gentlemen. Read the history of Maccabees. You'll see that they erected this Roman church and its people and its power and its image. They erected the statue of Zeus, sacrificed a pig on the altar as the great general Titus came in and took away the nation of Israel and destroyed the holy people and scattered them into the earth, which was a divine covenant plan of Yahweh. But they themselves brought a name of blasphemy right to the temple to replace, if you will, to replace the great covenant name of the house of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody that's ever done any historical work knows that the ancient God of Israel was Yahweh. If you've got another God, you've got one too many. If you've got three gods, you've got two too many. If you've got a Trinity God, as most of these people have, they believe that there's actually two names, Yahweh, and then another name, Jesus in this case, that's going to save them. How long are you going to be divided and halted between two opinions as Elijah on the mountain called on the name of Yahweh? Get your Hebrew Bible and see what Pastor Buddy's telling you is true. Go to the Hebrew language, and if you can convert Yahweh into Jesus, then, ladies and gentlemen, you've done one of the most amazing things. You've stretched the truth beyond reason, and that's exactly what these false prophets have done and sold this name to millions of people abroad. and these preachers that are preaching the popular, ever popular name of Jesus for filthy lucre's sake and will not take down and bring the truth, along comes a poor old pastor like Pastor Buddy that's only got the truth in mind when I give you that name above every name. And it's Yahweh. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you will, call us up tonight. We'd like to talk to you as we're getting into the final phase of our message. This is Pastor Buddy. I'll see you next Sunday night on
I'm just learning more than life, and I'm learning to learn.